Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chaf Aleph. We left off on the bottom of daf Chaf Amid Beis of the two dots on the bottom of daf Chaf Amid Beis. Today we're going to discuss more about a melech. We're going to discuss how a melech is not allowed to have more than X amount of wives, and we're going to talk about how we derive that from David HaMelech and some details about the wives of David HaMelech, and specifically about Michal and whether she had children and when during her lifetime she had children and when during her lifetime she could no longer have children. The Gemara is also going to discuss, I guess, what you would say is probably the primary sugya of the daf, which is whether Dar Shina and Taima Dekra or Lo Dar Shina and Taima Dekra, which is based on this issue of a melech marrying more women. Is it based on the reason that they're going to lead him astray? So when that's not going to happen, he can marry more women, or as we'll see, that's not a valid cheshbon. But we're going to discuss in general Dar Shina and Taima Dekra or Lo Dar Shina and Taima Dekra. Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to tell us about how a melech is also not allowed to have too many horses, and a melech has a requirement to write a Sefer Torah. So we're going to discuss the idea of what it means, how we define too many horses, and we're also going to discuss some of the details of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah for us and for a melech, that these are two separate inyanim, two separate mitzvahs. We have a requirement, every Jew has a requirement to write a Sefer Torah, it's mitzvah taryag, and there's also a mitzvah on a melech to write a Sefer Torah and what the differences are in the parameters of those two mitzvahs. So let us begin. And today's shiur and many of the shiurim recently and going forward is sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Lizchusr for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, and for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both have Refuah Shlema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So we are holding on Daf Chaf Amud Beis at the two dots on the bottom of the page, Poreitz Lasos Lo Derech. So we said in the Mishnah that a melech is allowed to make a road, he's allowed to be Poreitz, people's fences, even though it goes right into their properties, in order to make a derech, in order to make a path through their properties, and no one is allowed to say anything to him. And the Mishnah had said, derech ha-melech e-moshir, he can make it as large as he wants, and everyone, when they take spoils from battle, they have to give him chelek barosh, they have to give him the first right to take whatever it is that he wants. So Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa elaborates. Otsos melachim lemelech. Certainly when we fight a war and we are able to seize the otsos of another melech, of another king, of a foreign king, all of that goes to our melech, goes to the melech. V'shar bizus shabozin. What about the rest of the spoils that they take? Well, that's mechtzel lemelech u'mechtzel la'am. That gets split 50-50. Half to the melech, half to the am. Amrle abay the Rav Dimi, v'amrle the Rav Acha, bishlam otsos melachim lemelech, or chadimilsa. Otsos melech makes a lot of sense. That's the derech eretz. That's the normal way that you do things. That which belonged to the other king will now belong to our king. Elashar biza shabozin mechzal the melech mechzal am minalan. But that other detail sounds like a halacha that requires a source. The idea that the rest of the biza is going to be split evenly between the melech and everybody else. What's the source for such an idea? Dichsiv v'yimshchul Hashem l'nagid l'nagid u'litzadik. So makish nagid litzadik, that we link together the nagid and the tzadik, as Rashi, v'yimshchul so Rashi says b'shlomo k'siv, that this is talking about Shlomo l'nagid u'litzadik, not tzadik. The tzadik is the kohen. So since the pasuk mentions Shlomo and tzadik together, nagid is Shlomo and tzadik is the kohen. So makish nagid litzadik. So we're telling the pasuk is revealing to us that there's a similar din that a king has to the din that a Kohen Gadol has. Matzadok, just like a Kohen Gadol, when it comes to the dividing up of the lechem upon him, mechzelo, mechzeliechav, it gets split up half for the Kohen Gadol and half for the other Kohanim. So afnagid, so too, when it comes to something that's supposed to be split between the melech and other people, mechzelo, mechzeliechav, so too, when it comes to the spoils of war, it goes half to the melech and half to everybody else. So that's the halach. And the Beis HaMikdash, the lechem apanim, they had 12 lechem apanim each and every week, and they would take it out every Shabbos, and they would put others in its place, because there's a requirement that it has to be al shulchan tamid. So that's how the chalukah was done, that it was 50-50. So it says more of it, tzaduku feminolin, but how do I know that din about the lechem apanim, that it's 50-50? Titanya, Rabbi Yomar Vahisa la'aron u'levanov. The pasuk talks about the dividing of the lechem apanim, it says that it's supposed to be Aaron ulabanav, mechzal Aaron and mechzal banav. So we assume that that means it gets split evenly between Aaron and banav. So therefore, it's 50-50, and therefore, when it comes to the melech as well, it gets split 50-50. Says the Mishnah, lo yarbe lo nashim ella shmona esrei. The melech is not allowed to have too many wives, only 18. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, marbu hulo ubavad shelo yuhu mesiris zlibo. He can have more wives as long as they don't lead his heart astray. Why? Because the Torah, the Navi tells us rather that rak lo yarbe lo susim v'lo yoshvesa mitzrayma, that he's not allowed to have extra susim because he's going to lead them back to Mitzrayim. And then it says v'lo yarbe lo nashim, and the very next words are v'lo yasur levavo, that it's not, it shouldn't lead his heart astray. So Rabbi Yehuda makes the cheshbon that if he's going to have women that are not going to be mesiros aslibo, he's going to have wives that are not going to be mesiros aslibo. So mela, it's not going to lead his heart astray. So therefore, it's going to be perfectly fine. So that's what we find that this is the svara for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer afilu achas mesiros libo areze lo yisaena. No, even if it's one wife that's going to be mesiros libo, he's not allowed to marry such a woman. Imkein lama nemer lo yarba lo nashim. Why does it have to tell me not to be marba nashim? Da afilu kavigayil. Even if they're the most wonderful women in the world, even if it's like Avigayil, Eishes David, he's not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Avigayil is considered, David had several nashim tzidkanios. Avigayil is one of the Sheva Neviyos. Avigayil has a certain status. So even if she's worthy of being one of the seven Neviyos in history, still lo yarba lo nashim, he's still not allowed to have more than X number of wives. So we said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's allowed to have more as long as they're not Mesir as Libo. So as long as they're Nashim Ksheros. The whole issue is that they shouldn't be Mesir as Libo. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is focused on the Taima Dekra. He's focused on what the logic is, that he's not allowed to marry too many because of what effect they will have on him. And that affects the Halacha. That changes the details of the Halacha. So says Gemara, L'Remed Rabbi Yehuda, Darish Taima Dekra of Rabbi Shimon, Lo Darish Taima Dekra. Is that really the general sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and Shas? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's Dorish Taima Dekra, and Rabbi Shimon is the one that says, no, I'm not interested in the Taima Dekra. The Halacha is going to be the Halacha regardless of what the Taima Dekra is. But we learned the exact opposite as far as their positions on Taima Dekra. Did Tanya, because we have a Braisa that tells us as follows, that Almana, Bein Shi Aniya, Bein Shi Ashira, Ein Mimashkin Elsa, that a person is not allowed to take a Mashkon from an Almana, whether she's a very poor woman or whether she's a wealthy woman. Why? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Lo Sachbol Beged Almana, that you're not allowed to take a Mashkon from an Almana. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, end of story. It doesn't matter why you're not allowed to take a Beged from an Almana, just that you're not allowed to take a Beged from an Almana. There's nothing further to discuss. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, well, let's see. Why is it that you're not allowed to take a Beged from an Almana? So Rabbi Shimon says, Ashira Mimashkin Nosa. You're allowed to take from an Ashira because you're not going to have to keep going back to her house each and every day to return the mashkin when she needs it and take it back when she doesn't need it. And Nia in Mimashkin Nosa, but Chayiv Lahachzirla, Atamasiya Shem Rabbi Shchein Nosa. It's only in Ania that you're not allowed to take a mashkon from, because you're going to have to keep on giving it back to her, and then it's going to give her a very bad reputation, because there's going to be this strange guy who's going to her house all the time, every morning, every night. He's switching out the beged that he's taking as the mashkon. So that's why you're not allowed to take a mashkon, because it's going to cause her a terrible reputation, that here's this woman living alone and this man keeps coming to the house. But an ashira, where she has plenty of clothing, so you take one beged and you're never going to have to visit her again, you're never going to have to be seen near her house again, that would not be such a problem of taking a beged as a mashkon from an ashira. So v'amrin and ma'ika amar. So we already to explain Rabbi Shimon, what does he mean that you can't take a beged from her because it's going to cause her a bad reputation? So this is exactly what we mean, that because you are taking the mashkon, you are also going to have to return the mashkon every single day when she needs to use it, and that alone, that ongoing relationship and that ongoing coming back and forth to her house is going to cause her a terrible reputation. So Gemara says, so here's our kasha. Alma, Rabbi Yehuda, lo darish taima dekra. What we see from the discussion of the mashkon is that Rabbi Yehuda is not darish taima dekra. Rabbi Yehuda says, End of story. There is no mashkon that could be taken from an almana. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, Darish Taima Dekra. Rabbi Shimon is the one who is Darish Taima Dekra, and that's why he says it's only a mashkon from an aniyah that you're not allowed to take, but from an ashira, you are allowed to take. So the question is, so how could it be that in our Mishnah, when it comes to the number of wives that a king is allowed to take, that we find it's just the opposite, that Rabbi Shimon is the one that doesn't care about time to cry, you're not allowed to take more than 18 wives. And Rabbi Yehuda says, ah, if they're ksheros, it's, you know, they're not going to be meisir slavavo. So says the Gemara answers, Bialma Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time to cry. Really, Rabbi Yehuda's general shita is that we are not darish time to cry. Bishayni hacha de mefaresh time to cry. But over here, it's different. By the Isra of lo yarba lo nashim, it says it explicitly, the Torah itself is mefaresh the time. It says, as we read before, v'lo yasur levavo. So matam lo yarba lo nashim mishum de lo yasur levavo. Why is it that he's not allowed to be marbid nashim? Because lo yasur levavo, he's not allowed to have his heart led astray. Rabbi Shimon or Melach, Rabbi Shimon would say michti. No, let's analyze. Bialma darshina time dekra. Generally speaking, if the Torah tells us nothing else, if all we have is the iser in the Torah, we would be dorish time dekra. We would try to figure out the halacha based on the time. So why can't the Torah just tell me lo yarba lo nashim? Don't tell me a reason. And it's obvious to me. Of course, lo yarba is because lo yasur. Lo yasur lamali. So why does the Torah then have to add the words lo yasur? Afilu achas masiris libo arez lo yisaena. To tell me it's a separate iser. You have two isurim. One is lo yarba lo nashim, and a separate iser, don't marry a woman, is going to be yasur levavo, regardless of even if you don't have an excessive number of wives. No single wife that's going to be meser levavo should even be married to, because it can't be teaching me the time of the crow over here. Time of the crow is something we're able to derive without a special pasuk. It can't be teaching time of the crow. It must be teaching a separate iser. So the starting point is how you view time of the crow in general, and then how you react when the Torah actually gives a time is going to depend on how you view time of the crow in general. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that we generally don't try to figure out time of the crow, or certainly don't try to adjust the halacha based on time of the crow. When the Torah gives time of the crow, that's the Torah telling us, yeah, over here you're supposed to figure out time of the crow. You're supposed to be adjusting the halacha based on time of dekra. Rabbi Shimon, who in general says we figure out time of dekra anyway without the Torah giving us a reason, when the Torah seems to be giving us a reason, it must not be a reason. It must be something else. It must be a separate iser. It must be an iser of not marrying even a single woman who's going to be meiser slibo. So elamani mekayim lo yarba da afilu kavigayil. So then, what's the iser of lo yarba lo nashim? That even if the woman is kavigayil, even if she's the greatest isha tzadekas in the world, it doesn't matter. He's still not allowed to marry more than 18 of them. Hani Shmonasri Minolan, where do we get the number 18 in terms of number of wives that a melech is not allowed to have? D'chsiv, because the pasuk tells us, Vayivoldu l'David banim b'chavron, Vayihi b'choro Amnon l'achinoam ha'Yisraelis. David's firstborn son was Amnon, who was born to his wife Achinoam Yisraelis. Umishneu, his second son, was Kilav l'Avigayil eshes nova l'Karmeli. Then he was born to Avigayil, his wife Avigayil, who was originally the wife of Naval eshes Karmeli. That's what the Gemara tells us, that Naval was Kishmo Kenhu. That there are certain times that you find in Tanakh that someone's name is more of a description of their personality than it is just a title. Naval was a horrible person, so Naval was Kishmo Kenu, and Avigail, as the Gemara tells us, you know, already hinted to David as she saved Naval's life. You know, maybe you want to keep me in mind for later, because she knew that Naval wasn't long for this world. And sure enough, David HaMelech married her later. Vashlishi and their son Kilav, where the Gemara, the beginning of Brachos, tells us was a very great Talmud Chacham. He was Mevayish Pnei Mephiboshes in Halacha, that even though Mephiboshes was Mevayish Pnei David in Halacha, Kilav was a very, very great Talmud Chacham. Maybe that's why he wasn't interested in he was the only one that wasn't interested in the Malchus. All of David's children are fighting to become the Melech. Kilav was busy learning. So Vashlishi Avshalom ben Macha, and the third son was Avshalom ben Macha, Varevi Adonio ben Chagis, that's the fourth son, Vachamishi Shvatya ben Avital, Vashishi Yisra Amla Egla Eishas David Eile Yuldulu David B'Chavron. When David was in Chavron, as we discussed yesterday, where he was for 7.5 years before his Malchus moved to Yerushalayim. So two of those years was when Ishbosheth was acting as king in Yerushalayim, and the other 5.5 years there was no king over the Jewish people. But during that time that David spent in Hebron, he had these 6 sons from these 6 wives. But our focus over here is not about the sons; it's about the wives. That you see that there were 6 wives. The Kamerle Navi, and the Navi Nasana Navi tells David, "Im Maat v'Osif Alach Kahena v'Kahena." If you don't have so many wives now, Hashem is going to give you Kahena v'Kahena. You're going to have more like this and like this. Kahena shis v'Kahena shis. You have 6, so you'll get more like this, and then another time more like this. So 6 times 3 is 18. Davlu Timni Srei. So therefore, it's going to turn out to be 18 wives. Says Mar Maskva Ravina Ema Kahena Tartisrei v'Kahena Esen v'Arba. No, maybe Kahena means you'll double what you have now v'Kahena, and then you'll double that. So if it keeps doubling, so maybe that really means 24 wives, not 18 wives. So Tanya Amihachi, and we have a brisa that says just like that, Lo Yarba Lo Nashim, Yoser Me Esrim V'Arba. The Torah doesn't give us an exact number, so that leaves room for the Tanaim to disagree as to what that exact number is, and therefore, maybe it actually means 24. So Leman De Darish Vav Arba Mushmona, and if you darsh in the letter Vav as if it said Kahena a third time, then it could even be 48, because you keep doubling it. So Arba Mushmona Havu would be 48. You have Kahena, which would double it to 12, Vi, which doubles it to 24, Kahena, the second Kahena, doubles it to 48, and Tanya Nami Yachi Lo Yablu Nashim Yoser Me'arba Mushmona, and there's actually a brisa that says just like that. Lo Yablu Nashim is he shouldn't have more than 48. V'tana Dida and my time. What's the reason that our Tana holds that it's not 24, it's not 48, it's only 18? Amar Rav Kana Makish Kahena Basra Lo Kahena Kama Makena Kama Shis Av Kahena Basra Shis. Just like the Kahena Kama is 6, so to the next Kahena must also be 6. Each Kahena is telling me the exact amount of the year of meaning the second Kahena has to be telling me the exact amount of the first Kahena. So that's why it turns out to be 18. Va'avai Michal, so says more. Wait a second, there seems to be a missing wife. We listed in the Pasuk all of the 6 wives that he had in Hebron and all of the sons that he had from those wives, the 6 sons he had from those wives, but there was a 7th wife he had in Hebron. What about Michal? So Amarav Egla Zu Michal. Egla is actually a reference to Michal. So Velamenik Roshma Egla. Why is she called Egla? Shechaviva Alav Ke Egla. She was beloved to him like a calf. Meaning we refer to Egla as something that's very beloved, that's very precious. V'cheinu Amar Luli Charashtim Be Eglasi. So that's referring to his wife. Egla is over there is talking about Shimshon, that they heard from his wife how to resolve the riddle that he had asked them. So he said, "Luli shacharshu beglaso," they would not have found chidasa. They would not have found the answer to his riddle. That's what he was saying. But you see that it's a loving term used for a wife, which is a little bit of an odd place to bring the raya from, because you would imagine Shimshon was not particularly pleased with his wife at that time when he referred to her as an egla. But still, that you see that egla is a is an endearing term that one uses for one's wife. The Mefarshim raised the question that he also married Ritzpah Bas Aya, that he married the Almana of Shaul. So the Ran writes that that's a raya to the Shita of the Rambam, that Pilakshim are not in the Cheshbon of the 18, meaning Lo Yarba Lo Nashim, more than 18. Does that include Pilakshim, or is that excluding Pilakshim? So that's Machlokes Rishonim. So it seems to be a raya to the Rambam, that it's the Rambam Shita is, that it's excluding Pilakshim. He's allowed to have more Pilakshim. We'll discuss in a moment what exactly Pilakshim are, what the difference are between an Isha and a Pilegesh. But anyway, Michal is in the Cheshbon. So says Mar, but wait a second. We mentioned that he had a child from each of these wives. So ask the Gemara, Miyavi Michal Bani? Did Michal have any children that you say that Yisraim was the Pasuk says was the son of Michal? Vaksivil Michal Bashal Lohayilov Ladad Yomosa. She didn't have a child to the day of her death. So Amar Rav Chista, yeah, after that last phrase is such a loaded phrase. ad yom mosa lo hayala. Yeah, she didn't have any children until the day of her death. Bi yom mosa hayala. But on the day of her death, she did have children. Very often, women in those days would have children on the day of their death. That was usually the cause of death. It was childbirth. So yeah, so she had a child on the day of her death. Says Gemara, does that really work? Michti banim echa kachashav lehu. This pasuk mentions Yisraim as the son of Egla, who apparently is the son of Michal bas Shaul, where? Bechevron, when David was still in Chevron. Is that possible that was the day of her death, that she gave birth while David was still in Chevron? No, the Navi tells us stories that happened after David left Chevron, where Michal was involved in the story. So it's impossible that the day of her death was the day, was when she had a child, and it was still in Chevron. The famous story about Michal was in Yerushalayim. The story in Shmuel Beis, after David goes from Chevron to Yerushalayim, and he brings the Aron to the Ir David, and he's mefazez umecharker, and he's dancing, and he's being wild in front of the Aron. And Pasuk tells us, Michal Bashal Nishkava Bada Chalon Vateres HaMelech David Mephasiz Mecharkel Lefnei Hashem Vativez. And she's upset that he's humiliating himself in the way that he's dancing in front of the Aron, and David gets upset at her for being upset at him, that this is Kavod HaTorah, this is what you do. So because of that, the Navi says she didn't have a child Ad Yom Mosa, but this was after Chevron. Vam Rabbi Yudav Item Rav Yosef Shekalta Michal Lemitrafse. Michal took the punishment for her sin in that she couldn't have any more children. So you see that she was only punished at that point. Yisraim was born in Chevron before this Maisa, so you can't say that Yisraim was born on the day of her death. Eleima ad osa Maisa hayla. Mikan ve'elech lo hayla. When we say that she didn't have any children until the day of her death, it means from the time that she received that punishment until Yom Mosa, she didn't have any children. Ve'ikach tavad od pilvaksiv, ve'ikach tavad od pilakshim v'nashim Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, wait, but doesn't the Navi tell us that David married more women and more pilakshim? So you see that he had more than the six that were mentioned in Chevron. So the Mali, Shmonasre. No, that's to get to the number 18, meaning Enochinami married more later on, like we said, Kahena v'Kahena. So that's how he got to 18, because he married more women. In fact, the Torah Schayim wonders, isn't that a Davar Pashut, the Gemara's answer? Obviously, he had to marry more to get to the number 18. What was the Havamina of the Gemara to ask from a Pasuk that clearly is about being in Yerushalayim already? So he says that the Gemara's question was, because this Pasuk is said before the story of Bathsheba, and it's only by the story of Bathsheba that the Navi tells him, Sifalach Kahena v'Kahena. So it would turn out that at the time that he was told Kahena v'Kahena, he already had more than six wives, and therefore the Cheshbon doesn't seem to be Meduyak. So then what's the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara's answer is that even though the Pasuk was written before that, he really didn't marry these women until after the story of Bathsheba, meaning that it's not written in chronological order. It's true that he had more wives in Yerushalayim, and that the Pasuk tells us about that before. It tells us the Pasuk of Kahena v'Kahena, but he didn't actually have those wives when he was told kahena v'chahena. So my nashim, my pilakshim. What is the difference between an isha and a pilagesh? Amar avidam rav nashim b'ksuba b'kiddushin, pilakshim below ksuba below kiddushin. That women are with that a wife is with ksuba and with kiddushin, pilakshim are without ksuba, without kiddushin. There is a machlokas tanoim, which is also a machlokas amarayim, which is also a machlokas rishonim, whether ksuba is a din daraisa or ksuba is a din derabanan. This is a sugya comes up in many places in Maseches Ksuvos as well as elsewhere in Shas. Is ksuba din daraisa or ksuba din derabanan? Now clearly the distinction between a pilegesh and an isha is a distinction on a daraisa level. Whether one is a wife or one is a pilegesh must be a distinction on a Darais level. It is therefore somewhat curious that the defining difference between an Isha and a Pilagesh, okay, Kiddushin, I understand, that certainly is Daraisa. Lashna Ramba Messiah, it's certainly a Daraisa. But why would Pilegesh be part of the definition of a distinction? Why would Ksuba rather be part of the definition of a distinction on a Daraisa level if one were to hold that Ksuba is only Derabanan? So that is a kasha that some of the Achronim struggle with. could say, no, the Ikar distinction is Kiddushin, but we just throw in Ksuba also as a distinction once we have such a thing called Ksuba, if you happen to hold Ksuba Drabanan. Rav Rosenzweig has a whole Mahalich where he suggests that the difference between the Isha and the Pilegesh is that there's a certain finality to a marriage, there's a certain commitment to an Isha that you don't have with a Pilegesh. And that type of relationship, that relationship where there's this absolute commitment is a din d'oraisa. That's the definition d'oraisa of an isha. Exactly how to see to it that the relationship is like that, that was up to the Rabbanan to figure out what exact halacha to put in place to make sure that the relationship is that way. So what did they do? Isha, they required a ksuba. Shalote kalabein of lotzia, the Gemara says, so that it would not be easy to divorce her. The idea that a wife should be lote kalabein of lotzia is a din d'oraisa. The Rabbanan figured out how to do it, how to make it shalote kalabein of lotzia. As Rav Rosenzweig, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, suggested. So, Shalotei Kalabein Velotzia is a way to be Mekayim the Din D'Oraisa. So, maybe that's why you find that when there are stiras in Rambam all over the place, whether Ksuba's D'Oraisa or Ksuba's Rabbanan. But you find, if you look in the Rambam, the Koteres, Tilchus Ishas, says that it sounds like Ksuba is a Din D'Oraisa. But when it gets into the details of Ksuba, do you collect from Beinus, from Ziburus? When it gets into all the details, all the Nafkaminas, he comes down on the Drabbanan side. So what you find is when he speaks the generalities, it's Daraisa. When he speaks specifics, it's Drabbanan. Because as an idea, it's a Daraisa, it's a kiyum of a Daraisa idea. When it comes to the specifics, it's clearly an institution midrabban, or the Rambam would paskin like the Shita that it's an institution midrabban. So that's the possibility of why it is that Ksuba is part of the defining difference between an Isha and a Pilegesh. I'm Rabbi Domarav. David had 400 children who were all the children of Yifas Tawars that were taken in war. Megadli Belorios Hayu. And they grew Belorios, which are a certain type of haircut that is Minag HaGoyim to grow such a haircut. And for us would be Asir to have such a haircut. Vekulan Yoshim Kronosh Alzav Mahalchim Barasha Giyasos Hayu. And they all sat in golden wagons and they would lead the troops in war. These were the strong men of the Beis Davin. Chas Chinuch writes that according to those Rishonim, that Bia Rishona of Yifas Tawar is Mutter even Begayusa, even when she's still a Gaya, before you do the whole conversion, and someone who's born from a Bias, from a Bia with a Gaya is a Gay, so you understand why they were Gayim. So they're allowed to be Megadli Beloris, and they're and especially in May David, they were not Mekabel Gerim. The Gemara in Yavama says, in David and Shlomo, things were really good for the Jewish people, so we were choshed that people are interested in converting for the wrong reasons, so they weren't mekabel gerim, so mestama, they remained goyim, Chas Chinuch points out. But if you hold that, you're not allowed to have even the Bia Rishona with Yifas Tawar until she already converts, so then they were Jews, and there must have been some sort of exception over here. But anyway, that's always why when we're mekabel gerim, one of the things we tell gerim is that you have to, we remind them that there's such a thing as anti-Semitism. It's not always so geschmack, it's not always, we tell them the positives also, but we have to tell them the negatives of being a Jew. Tamar bas Yifas Tawar. I said Tamar was the daughter of Yifas Tawar. That Tamar told Amnon when he wanted to take advantage of her, when he wanted to be ma'aneser, said, why do you have to do it this way? Just ask our father, and I'm sure he will not hold me back from you. But if she was actually a daughter of David, that was a bas nisun, would that ever have happened? Can David, what kind of, Amnon should have seen right through that. Why would he allow me to marry my sister? It must be that she was a Bas Yifas Tawar, and therefore she was born before the Gerus of her mother, before her mother had a Gerus, and since she was born while her mother was still a Goya, so she's not considered the Bas of David, she's not considered the daughter of David. We just did a Gerus recently where we had this young man came, and he thought that he was Jewish his entire life, and it turned out the family discovered that his mother's mother's mother, that his great grandmother was not a Jew. They discovered the whole family assumed they were Jewish, discovered his great grandmother was not a Jew. This boy is a frum boy and everything, so he needed a giur because his mother's mother's mother was not a Jew. So his father was not religious at all. His father was asking, do I have to give my wife a get? They're getting divorced anyway, so partially over this. Do I have to give my wife a get? So probably probably not. Probably doesn't have to give his wife a get. We're pretty sure that that it's true that she wasn't. But the boy was asking, when I get called to the Torah, am I ben my father, or am I ben Avram Avinu? Because his father's a Jew, and he was born from a, but a Jew and a Gaya, so it could be that he doesn't have a din of a father. So, or when I get married, and they fill in the ksuba, am I ben my father? See, these are difficult questions that he probably should not have been asking right in front of his father. Okay, La'amnon Rea Shmo Yonadav ben Shima Achi David Yonadav Ish Chacham. So Amnon. So Amar Rav Yudam Rav Ish Chacham L'Risha, that Amnon's friend Yonadav was a Chacham, but a Chacham in the sense that he led him to do these evil things. He came up with this whole plan of how to take advantage of Tamar. Vayomer Madua Ata Kachadal Ben Amelech. He says, Ben Amelech, why are you so upset? Vayomer Yonadav Shchal Mishkav Echav Yischal. So he gives him the Eitzah. Act like you're sick, and David is going to send Tamar to take care of you. Adva Salene Eshabiria, and until he came up with the whole plan. Vatika Chamasharis Vatitzok Lefan. Of she poured a bath for him. Amar Rav Yudam Rav Shasalo Mine Tigun, that she actually fried some delicious delicacies for him. Vaisna Amnon Sina Gedol Amor. And right after Amnon takes advantage of Tamar, he hated her terribly. My time, Amar Rav Yitzchak Nima Nikshrolo Vasaato Krushovcha. Something went terribly wrong with in his attempt to take advantage of her. A hair got in the way and turned him into a Krushivcha. V'chi Nikshrolo I Mayavda. Why would he hate her for that? It was one of his own hairs that caused him a problem. She defended herself. She took a hair and she turned him into a kroshivcha by tying it in the right spot to stop him. So says Gemara, Rava, erva. But don't we learn that the Benos Yisrael don't have hair in that area of the bodies? So shiny Tamar, debasifas Torah. Yeah, but Tamar was a she was not from Ibnos Yisrael. Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosha Uksonas Hapasim Asher Aleha Kara. She tore Kriya. So Tana Mishmed Rabbi Shoben Karcha Geder Gadol Gadra Tamar Ba'osa Sha'a. She made a major geder by making a public show of the humiliation that she suffered. Amru, and everyone was able to realize what happened to her, and therefore they were able to make the following Kal V'chomer. Libnos Melachim Kach Libnos Hediotos Salachas Kama V'kama. If such a thing could happen to a Bas Melech, then such a thing could certainly happen to a regular person. Im litznuos kach, leprutzos alachas kama v'kama. If such a thing could happen to a tznua like Tamar, then kal v'chomer could happen to prutzos. Amrav dem rav ba'os ha'sha'a, gazru ala yichud v'ala pnuya. They made a gzera on yichud of a pnuya. That at that time they made a gzera, you're not even allowed to have yichud, not only with an eshes ish, but you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to have bia with a pnuya either. So it sounds like two separate gzeras. Yichud with the nation's ish and bia with the panuya. So ask the Gemara, no. Yichud daraisahu. Yichud with the nation's ish is a din daraisa. That's not something that they were gozer in the times of David HaMelech. Remez yichud min haTorah minayin. Where do we find the remez yichud from the Torah? Even though we're using the term remez over here, it really means that it's a din daraisa, and that's the way all the Rishonim understand it. Shenemar ki yisischa achicha benimecha. Pasuk says, when your brother, the son of your mother, leads you astray. What? The son of your mother is only v'chi ben e mesis, ben avenu mesis. The halach of mesis is only when it's ben imecha and not ben avicha. El lomer lecha ben misyachin imimo ve'inachar misyachin m'kal haraya shabatorah. The Torah is teaching me a halacha agav orcha, that a ben and an aim could be juxtaposed with each other, because a ben and an aim could be alone with each other. But other arayos in the Torah are not allowed to be alone with each other. So you see, yichud of arayos is the Raisa. So that's not from the times of David HaMelech. Ele'ema gozru al yichud de pnuya. No, it's not that they made two separate gzeros. Gzera on yichud and gzera on bia with the pnuya. No, they made a gzera on yichud with the pnuya in the times of David. V'adonia ben chagis misnase lemar ani amloch. Amar avidam rab melamit shebikesh laholmo v'loholmato. That Adonia HaMelech, Adonia wanted to become the king. He said, I'm going to become the king. So you see that he took the Keser Malchus. He tried to put it on his head, but he was not matzliach in having it fit his head. said, because there was a bar in the middle of the Keser Malchus for the Malchei Beis David that would, they had an indentation in the head where it would fit just so. So he didn't have that gene of a Malchus, and therefore the crown couldn't fit. So Mayrabusa, what's the big deal that he had 50 people running in front of him? That's not such a big deal. He's a Ben Melech, so he's a wealthy guy. So of course he has 50 people running in front of him. That's not an obscene number of people. So No, these were people who went through surgery to remove their spleens, which apparently makes it easier to run faster. I don't know the biological explanation of that. And they also had the heels of their feet, the flesh from the heels of their feet removed, so that their feet aren't as sensitive, and they're able to run on thorns, and they don't feel anything. So it wasn't just down 50 people running in front of him; it was 50 runners running in front of him, people who had who were specially designed to be runners. So that was something that was somewhat of a chiddush. But what you do see from here is that yichud, the Gemara skips one step, or doesn't tell us about one step. The Gemara gives us the first two steps of the Yisra of Yichud. The Gemara tells us the Yichud Arayos is with Arayos. Second step in the times of Davar HaMelech goes even on Yichud Pnuya. But the Gemara elsewhere, Masech Savod Zara, tells us that there's a third step of Yichud. In the days of Shammai and Hillel, there goes even on Yichud with a Goya, that even with a non-Jewish woman, there's an Isser of Yichud as well. That's a later Din Rabbanan, but also a Halacha. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yarbel Lo Susim El Kedem Merkavto. A king is not allowed to have too many horses, only what he needs for his merkava, only what he needs for his chariots. That he can't have too much amass, too much wealth, only what he needs to pay those who his soldiers and those who work for him, because he has to give them each and every year. Remember, that was one of the things that we said, why it's in the king's best interest to have a leap year, because it's one of the only things you can get free in this life, that he gets a free month. They get an annual salary, no matter how long the year is, 12 months, 13 months, it's an annual salary, so he'd want a leap year, he'd get a free, so that was the aspanya, that was the payment that he would give. Not only that, about a melech, we're also told in the Torah that when he's Yoshev al Kisei Mamlachto, he should write Mishnah Torah Zos, he has to write the Sefer Torah, V'kosiv lo Sefer Torah Lishmo, he has to write a Sefer Torah, and it's not good enough to have a Sefer Torah Berusha, Yotzel Melchama Motzia Imo, Nichnas Hu Machnisa Imo, that wherever he goes out to war, the Sefer Torah goes with him, comes back, and he brings it with him. Yoshev Bedin Uimo. And when he's Yoshev Bedin, the Sefer Torah is with him. Mesav, he Kenegdo. When he sits and he eats, Sefer Torah is right there across from him. Shenemar Vayisimo B'Karbo Kol Yimei Chayav. That this is what's going to keep him grounded, having a Sefer Torah with him all the time. Tanra Banu Leyar B'Lo Susum Yachla If Yiluk Adel Merkavto Prashav. I might think that he's not even allowed to have enough horses that he needs for his chariots. Tamalomar Lo. Lo Eino Marba Avul Marbu Kedei Rich for his own benefit and his own honor, he's not allowed to have. But for Merkavto Prashav, for what he needs for his army and what he needs for his chariots, that he is allowed to have. Amani Mekayim Susim. What do I do with the pasuk that he can't have too many Susim? Susim Habatlanim. Susim that are not being used, that are just there to have extra Susim. Minayin Hafilu Sus Echad Vehu Batel Shehu Belo Yarba. How do I know that even one more than he needs is a violation of Lo Yarba? Tamalomer Laman Harbos Sus. So from the fact that it says Sus Belashon Yachid, we see even one. The chimeachad afilu sus echad v'ubatel kai b'lo yarbe susim lameli. Why does it have to say in the plural if even one is a violation of the yisur? Lavra belos hasel kol sus v'sus, to tell us that each extra sus, you can't say, I'm already in violation of the yisur, I have two extras, I'm already in violation of this, I might as well have 2,000 extras. No, each one is a separate yisur. So time the kasar rachmana lo halav hachiyav amina afilu kadei rechubar prashav nami lo. It's only because it says lo, and had it not been for the lo with the vav, the lamid vav, the low, I would have think that he's not even allowed to have enough for his chariots. But how could you have such a hava? I mean, he's not allowed to have enough to fight his wars. It says more lo tzricha la afushe. The pasuk tells me to be matir to make sure that he doesn't have to be he doesn't have to be so sparing in what he needs for his chariots. He can have a lot of chariots. He can have a lot, he can make sure that his military is very well equipped. The kesef is of layar below elikadei liten aspanya. So he said he's only allowed to amass the amount of wealth that he needs to pay the salaries. Tan rabban kesef is of layar below yachal afilu kadei liten aspanya. I might think even to pay the salaries. Tam lomar lo einomar ba'al marbu kadei liten aspanya. He can't have for his own benefit, but to pay the salaries he can. Time to kesef rachman lo halav hachi avmin afilu kadei liten aspanya nami lo. Oh, it's only because of the word lo lamid vav that it tells me that he's allowed to have enough to pay the salaries. Otherwise, I would think he's not even allowed to have enough to pay the salaries. What's the havamina? No, the pasuk is needed to tell me that he's able to be marba mamon for the salaries and to pay the salaries berevach. He doesn't have to be so sparing in that. That when he hires soldiers, he can hire plenty of soldiers. Hashda amrit lo ledrasha lo yarba lo nashim my drashta bay. If every time we have the word lo lamed vav is for a drasha, what do we darshan from lo yarba lo nashim lamute adiotos? That's to take us to say that that only a melech is asked to be marba nashim, but other people are allowed to have hadiotos. Regular people are allowed to have many wives. Rabbi Yehuda Rami, Rabbi Yehuda asked the following stira: Ksiv ayilish lo marba melech urvos susim lemerkavo. Ksiv ayilish lo marba salafim urios susim. And so how could both of these psukim be correct? The numbers are a contradiction. So says Gemara, imar boim elef itzavos itztablaus hayu, then kol echad ve'echad hayu bo arbas alafim. If there are 40,000 itztablaus, each one had 4,000 arvos susim. The imar boim elef itztablaus hayu, if there are 4,000 stables, then kol echad ve'echad bo arboim elef arvos susim. Then each of them had 40,000 arvos susim. So it was 40,000 times 4,000. We're just not sure what was the 40, what was the 4, what were the stables, and what were the horses in the stables. So Rabbi Yitzchak Rami, Ksiv ein kesef nechshav bimei Shlomo l'me'uma. That kesef meant nothing in the days of Shlomo. Ksiv ha'itin Shlomo sa kesef b'Yerushalayim kavanim, that the kesef in Yerushalayim was like stones. Lo kasha. Kan kodem shnas Shlomo's baspar, kan lach shnas Shlomo's baspar. Meaning, stones are nothing. They're something. They're very little, but they're something. So one is before he married baspar, one is after he married Basparo, because you would assume that after he married Basparo, so he got even richer. But no, the way the Rishonim understands is once he married Basparo, he was punished and the kesef, and he had less kesef than he had before. So now it was only worth as much as stones. Amar Yisrael, B'shoshanas Shlomo's Basparo, Yor Gavriel v'na'atz kina b'yam, that when Shlomo Melech married Basparo, Gavriel came down and put a reed in the sea, v'hela sirton of olav nivna krach gadol shabaromi. And that's where some sand started to gather, and it became this massive island, and it grew and it grew, and ultimately the Krach Gadol Shabaromi was built on that reed that was put in the land. When he married Basparo, that was the Avera that ultimately brought Avodah Zarah into Yerushalayim, and that ultimately is what brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Marshal explained. Why does the Torah not give us the reasons for all the various Yisurim in the Torah? Why you're not allowed to eat Chazer? Why you're not allowed to wear Shatnez? Shari Shteim across the Niskal Taimin. Because there are two places where the Torah does give us the reason, and Nichshol Ben Gadol Olam. And Shlomo Melech is Nichshol, and even someone as great as Shlomo Melech. Siv Lo Yarba Lo Nashim. Amar Shlomo, Ani Arbe V'lo Asur. It says Lo Yarba Lo Nashim because they'll lead your heart astray. He said, won't happen to me. Siv Vayilei Sikna Shlomo Nashav Hitu Es Levavo. It worked while he was young, and when he got older, he was no longer able to withstand the pressure. Siv Lo Yarba Lo Susim. Amar Shlomo, because the Susim are going to lead you to Mitzrayim. Shlomo says, Ani Arbe V'lo Ashiv. It's not going to lead me to Mitzrayim. Uksiv, and then that we find Merkava Mitzrayim B'sheish, that ultimately it did lead them down to Mitzrayim. Uvekosev Sefer Torah L'shmo. You should write a Sefer Torah for himself. So Tano B'vach Shelo Yis Noe B'shal Avosav. He shouldn't use the Sefer Torah that he yarshin from his fathers. He has to make his own Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Afi Sheinichul Avosav LeAdam Sefer Torah Mitzvah Lichtov Mishlosh Nemar Vatar Kisvul Lachemes Hashira Hazos. Pasuk says that even if a person has a Sefer Torah B'Yerusha, he has to make sure that he has his own Sefer Torah. Eisve Abaye V'kosev Lo Sefer Torah L'shmo. shloisa mishal acherim melech in hedyot lo. Sounds like that's only a din in the melech, but a hedyot is a lot of yarshin to sefer Torah. Lotzricha shtei Torahs. The Brice is telling me that a melech the shtei Torahs, the melech is different than a hedyot as far as the chiyuv of writing two Torahs, but as far as having to have your own Torah and not just relying on the one you get by Yerusha, that's true of both the melech and a hedyot. Uchadetanya, Brice tells us because of those mishneh, so the Torah says you should write mishneh Torah azos. Kosiv l'shmo shtei Torahs. Achas shehi yotzav v'nechnas simo. Achas shemenachas lo v'beis kenazav. One that goes with him wherever he goes, and one that's put away in his safe. Osa shiyotzav v'nechnas simo. The one that goes with him wherever he goes. So in parentheses, also osa kamin kameya v'tola bezrao. It was written very small, like a kameya. They would hang on his arm. Shnemer shvisi hashem v'nagin samid kimimini balemot. Eino nechnas ba lo l'beis amerchus lo l'beis hakisei. He had to be careful not to go into the bathhouse or the bathroom with it. Shnemer v'isim of a karabo makom aroy likrosba. Only in a place that's roy to read from it. Only then is he allowed to have the Sefer Torah with him. So I guess we'll stop there and we'll continue more issues relating to the Sefer Torah of the Melech as was Hashem tomorrow. Oh, yeah.